The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, we got football this weekend. We've got ponies starting tonight. So much to get to. Let's do this. It's a Friday Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
It's Friday Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Weekend Friday Friday. Getting down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Partying, partying, yeah. Partying, partying, yeah. Fun, 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 fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, and MMA god, Zhong Li, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is your number, but just hit us up on the text line because we're on location. We're not taking
That's
calls.
Right.
We're at Sam Houston Race Park. You can also get us on Facebook. Just find the Blitz Facebook page. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Jon Snow with a zero, not an O. At Degenerates975. You can also text the show. You know the number. And it's a Friday Friday. Let's have some fun today. I'm already having fun because I am at Sam Houston Race Park. So is AJ, of course. Not just me. But this is like my home away from home. Live racing starts back up tonight. Can't tell you how excited I am. It's happening, Hoffman.
Sports and stuff like that. Nobody puts baby in a corner, but they put my ass in the corner for sure.
Yeah, they kind of have us sort of blocked off here.
Yeah.
You know, they got the promo chicks have got like the primo spot.
Right.
And then we've got the, you know, we're just kind of like out of the way.
It looks like the 50 Cent Friday setup is taking over where we normally sit.
Yeah, which is fine because I noticed they have better beer this year too.
Right.
Like you can get Hoppadillo for 50 cents.
Look at that.
It's nice.
So we're usually there.
Right.
The beer is over there on the other side of the entry, and then the promo table is usually right here where we're at. But I'm going to go ahead and blame it on the promo girls who set this up all wrong.
Yeah.
Right? That's my guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's their fault because you know they want all the attention, so they want to get right there where people can see them.
They want to be the
featured
attraction.
Which is fine because people probably want to look at them more than they want to look at us, but they want to talk to us more than they want to talk to them.
It's because I didn't wear those pants that they're wearing. Otherwise,
see, I did, but it doesn't have
it doesn't
the
work the same
for
you.
No. It shows a little too much.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what's happening, man?
You know, sports and stuff. Sports and stuff. It's Friday, Friday.
Yeah.
Which seat should I take? So that's an exciting thing.
You took that
seat. I took this seat.
Yeah.
You took the front seat. So, yeah, I'm excited to get to the weekend. There's big fights this weekend I'm stoked about.
I was already stoked about them. Then I was reading your article, which I'm about to post finally because I've been struggling with the photo for some reason. And now I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's going to be some good fights.
It's going to be a good weekend, man.
Heads will roll.
I always like that when that happens.
Yeah.
So, as a matter of fact, I have just posted your article to SportsMap even as we speak.
Oh, beautiful.
So, people can check it out. And so the fight's tomorrow. We got NFL this weekend. I think my favorite thing so far that's happened, though. Well, I have two things, really. First off, I kind of have a beef with our buddy Eric Sandler.
Okay.
Not a bad beef, not like but I'm kind of mad at him for something because he wrote a story on where to eat in Houston right now, 10 new restaurants to warm up your January on Culture Map.
I mean, that is his job.
That is his job. The first one he puts on there, it's like the new restaurant by me that's already hard enough to get into.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Nancy's Hustle. Thanks for that, Eric, because I've been there twice. That place is fantastic. It's one of those places where, you know what, if they raise the price of the food, I wouldn't complain. Because the food's really affordable, but it's always crowded, and we always have to get reservations. And he just made it worse.
Yeah.
Because now people are going to go there. So thanks for that, Eric.
That happens.
I owe you one. Not in a good way.
Yeah, yesterday was my anniversary.
Well, congratulations.
Thank
what
you.
What is that?
11.
11
years.
11 years
this has lasted.
God, I'm coming up on 10. I'm surprised the two of us. Over under for both of us to be married that long? I would have thought, no way.
Right? Well, normally we like to go have a nice meal for our anniversary. That's what we prefer to do, like, instead of gifts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, alas, I am in the middle of a diet, and I'm not drinking. So going out right now.
It's not fun.
It's not fun.
No.
So we decided to wait until next month. That way I can get a reservation a little ways out and get in where we want to go. So,
well, I know it's a little bit of a drive, but you should check this place out. You will love it.
Okay.
It's that and that Riel in Montrose are the two best places I've been in the last 6 months. I mean, they're both fantastic.
All right.
But this place is just through the roof great. I'm really excited because they're opening another one near me. So you guys didn't do anything?
We didn't really do anything. You know what we did do? We watched Bright.
Oh, boy. And?
Okay, so here's where I've been, what I've been fed about Bright going into last night was that I've had some people tell me it's the worst movie in the history of time.
Yeah. Well, and it was, you read that story that basically called it that.
Yeah. And then I've had people say, nope, it's really, really great. And it's got a social message that, I mean, it's really timely, it's really relevant. And it's a really well-done movie. I found it to be about in the middle.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, maybe I'm lame.
Well, that actually means you probably liked it because you don't like orcs and stuff.
I don't. And that's what kept me from really liking it. It's about orcs and elves and magic.
Okay, and see, I like those things.
That's all things I think are so stupid, and I usually hate movies about that. But, like, the social commentary of it was, I mean, it's basically... Like in this movie, the orcs are black people, and it's the way they're treated, and you know, like it's imagine being the cop who had the first black partner, the first black cop was your partner, and that's what basically the shoes Will Smith is in right now, and everybody's trying to get rid of his partner, they want to kill him.
Yeah,
you know, it's an interesting idea. I just hate orcs and elves and magic.
All right, but I like that stuff, so I should probably like this movie.
You'll probably like it.
Okay. If that's the thing that kept you from liking it, then yeah. I'll probably watch it.
You'll probably like it.
I went and saw The Post today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And
as good as to be believed?
Yeah, the last two movies, and I don't know, and Val and I were talking about this after the movie, either we're getting older and appreciating better movies or Hollywood's making better movies. Because the last two I've seen were Darkest Hour, which I thought was fantastic, and Gary Oldman is best actor, hands down. But this movie was great. And part of it was because I come from a journalism background, and when I first started, well, my dad was working at the newspaper when I was a little kid. They were using all this old typeset and stuff that they were doing in the movie, so that was kind of cool. But I found it to be just fantastic. And just the way that our journalism has evolved now, it's... You'll probably never see stuff like that again done right, but oh my goodness, what a good movie. And it was kind of cool because they're transitioning from a time, and I think we've sort of done this in radio, where they were all buddies. Like the editor was buddies with JFK, and they went to dinner together and did stuff together, so you couldn't really go after them. And it used to be that way in sports, too. We used to hang out with athletes all the time. It was all cool, but it was sort of where it evolved from, where they're not on the same team anymore, and they shouldn't be. And I kind of feel that's how we should be with athletes and GMs and people like that. Can't really be friends with them.
Right.
Not and be honest. I can't. I've said 1,000 times. I can't really be honest about Bob McNair because I've known him for so long.
Right.
But, you know, I thought it was a really good movie, and I highly recommend it. I also highly recommend you get your butts out to Sam Houston Race Park tonight. It was so cool. I got here early because it was raining, and I know how people get in the rain. And first thing I see is two of my oldest friends that I've been hanging out with at this place since 1994.
Oh, boy.
And we used to hang out at the main table over at the pavilion.
So are you kind of surprised that they're alive?
Yeah, that's the first thing I asked them because I didn't see them. I don't think I saw them at all last year, maybe once. But that's the first thing I asked. Like, damn, USOBs are still alive?
Yeah, who would have thought?
That's pretty awesome. So, but yeah, good dudes. And also got a lot of good feedback from yesterday's show from people, including –
I got some good feedback on yesterday's show.
I got a lot. It was like 99-1. There was like one guy tweeted us, and I just ignored him because I don't really care. But other than that, man, everybody's, oh, that was so funny. You guys should do that again. So, well, can't do it every day. It's just one of those things. It just went the direction it went.
Right.
But I had fun.
It was a good time.
And that's all that matters. If we enjoyed it, then most of the people who listen to us are probably going to enjoy it because they kind of have the same
kind of
twisted.
Thing. But yeah, you never know.
Yeah, but I don't know. I saw on Twitter, I guess a bunch of people were going back and forth to this guy, but I still don't understand the person. I didn't like this segment or I didn't like this. I don't care. I mean, honestly,
that's what I just said.
It's not on demand, brother.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, we can punch in here. Talk about this. Okay, fine. It doesn't work that way. We just do what we do, and you either like it or you don't.
Yeah.
If you don't, you know, switch the channel. There's other stuff to listen to.
So we're moving on?
Stop. We are moving on. Stop. Somebody says Bright equals Zootopia for adults.
I've never seen Zootopia, so I don't
know. Yeah, me either. All right, we are going to take a break. We've got a lot of good stuff to get to and a lot of goofy stuff to get to. We'll see if we can get through the entire show without a cow pun, though. Think we can do that?
We've already ruined that.
No, John ruined that. We haven't ruined
it. Well, you followed it up.
No, I was just, you know, taking John's thing and repeating it.
All right.
So I didn't do it. John did it. So $5 fine for the first person who does a cow pun, intentionally or unintentionally. Starting now, so John, you don't have to pay the $5.
Okay.
All right, quick break. It is a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop? I spit it through the wire, man. There's too much stuff on my heart right now, man. I'd gladly risk it all right now.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live from Sam Houston Race Park, opening night tonight. And after the show, I'll be heading upstairs for the special ESPN section.
So upstairs where the magic happens.
That's right. So if you won tickets, that's where I'll be. And if you didn't win tickets, you could still come by and say hello, hang out with us a little bit. Got a buffet going on up there and some other stuff, and it's right next to the bar. Generally, I don't know. I haven't there's new people here this year, so I haven't really sorted out where I don't know where we're going to be, but I assume it's in the same place as always, which is down at the end by the bar, which is a great place to be, of course. And I will be putting my picks up on Sports Map here next segment because usually they're on SHRP.com, but I don't see them there, and a few people have asked for them. So if you want to know who I pick for tonight's races, they'll be up on Sports Map. And I've got kind of a new system that I'm trotting out for this meet, so we'll see if it works. I've added some factors. It's like we do with sports, but I sort of put a ranking on like quality of track that a horse races at, quality of competition, speed, five different things. But I've added a couple new factors this year, so I'm really curious to see how it works out. But it'll be I don't think they'll be any worse than they – I don't think they'll get worse, but
– I would hope not.
Well, no, that was okay last year. I wasn't great.
I know, but we don't want you to get worse.
No, but I just wanted to – I added in some new factors and tweaked the rankings a little bit. So what I give you is kind of the four horses that are most likely to win the race and
okay.
When you get the tip sheet. And usually the one I put first is the one that I think has the best chance. But in some of these cases, they're really, really close. So, and I know a lot of you guys like to play exactas and tries, so that's kind of my approach. So enjoy it, and hopefully you'll win. All right. Did you see who Mel Kiper has the Browns taking in his first mock draft?
I did not.
You want to guess?
Is it a quarterback?
It is a quarterback.
Well, I mean,
the obvious answer is
Sam Darnold.
And
Josh Rosen?
And
not Baker Mayfield.
No.
Okay.
He has Josh Allen going number one overall.
He's in love with that dude.
And the best part was, well, if you didn't see that, you didn't see Ryan Leaf's response to it. Said, then again, he picked me ahead of Peyton, too. Just saying.
That's true.
Which is pretty funny. But, we're talking about a guy who, I mean, obviously he had a lot of promise, but he wasn't even the best quarterback in his conference last year, and that's not even a great conference.
Yeah, and whatever you think about Sam Darnold's stock and where it should be or where it should have been relative to last year, Sam Darnold, his stock to me went down way less than Josh Allen's did.
Oh, agreed.
I mean, Josh Allen was a guy because you're looking for a reason not to believe in that guy.
Yeah.
And he gave it to you. Like Sam Darnold.
Several times over.
You know, these guys like Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen, who have played at a high level. They were highly touted prospects from, you know, from high school all the way through. Those are the guys you're like, you're just looking for a reason to draft them. A guy like Josh Allen, you're looking for a reason not to draft him, and he gave you a reason not to draft
him. To me, he's this year's Trubisky, and he's not as good. And well, Trubisky accomplished a little more at North Carolina, not much more. He didn't have that great of a year last year either, but you're buying based on what you see as potential, and I don't like that. And if you say, well, he was hurt, well, so was Darnold.
Yeah.
Who had a better year?
Sam Darnold had a better
year. Yeah, and I mean, I don't quite get, but that would be a Browns thing to do.
It would be.
Because now
– and it'd especially be a Browns thing to take him number one.
Yeah.
When I can guarantee you, if that's the guy you really want, you can have him at four.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. But I think Mel still thinks Jimmy Clausen is the best player in the draft, too.
He loves that dude. Loves Jimmy.
Yeah, I found that interesting that that's the guy of all the quarterbacks that you think should go number one, and this is your job, is to rank these guys in order.
Yeah,
it'll be fun to get Lance on Monday and ask him. I don't know if he's done Josh Allen yet, but if there's any chance Josh Allen would be number one on his board.
I would be shocked if he said there was. Yeah. So I think he's already done Josh Allen. I think he's still got to do Josh Rosen.
Yeah, was the last I think that's who he was working on.
But yeah, he told me by – and obviously we're not in studio today, so we can't have him on. But he told me by Friday, by today, he would have all five guys that are projected – potential first-round quarterbacks, he'd have all their film work done. And that's Darnold, Rosen, Allen, Mayfield, and Lamar Jackson.
Hmm.
So I'm excited to talk to him on Monday about that.
Yeah, I am too, because, you know, as far as draft resources go, no offense, Mel Kiper, I know you're more famous because you do TV and you've been there forever and you look creepy. I trust Lance a little more than I do Mel Kiper. I see the work Lance puts into it too. I mean, my goodness. Anytime I walk by his office, he's sitting there. He's got, you know, two different things of tape going on of guys and making notes, and he has such a good feel for prospects too. So I'm curious to see how that plays out. 713-780-ESPN. If you wish to text the show, the other thing was your Rockets managed to get by the
T-Wolves.
Got a
win.
Yeah,
even with shorthanded.
Yeah,
got a win.
And Warriors next. I kind of think the Timberwolves are really playing pretty good basketball. Yeah. They're actually closer to the Rockets
really
than the Rockets were to the Warriors.
That was a really good win last night.
Yeah, so good for them. But I just want to mention, Joel did a really, really nice breakdown of what's right and what's wrong with the Rockets. It's on Sports Map. It's been up there all day. So I'm about to replace it in the main spot with your MMA preview. But
of course.
But he did a really nice job with that. There's a lot of good stuff on there. So somebody said Mel also picked Johnny Manziel for the Texans.
Yeah.
I don't remember that, but
I don't know if that was his final, but I know at one point he did have that.
Yeah. But he will change things moving. He always does. They all do. And that makes sense. But as you start talking to teams and you get a sense for the fact, you know, of who they're lying about and who they're telling the truth about. See where Baker Mayfield wants to play?
Miami.
Yeah.
So from what I read, he's talking to one of his old teammates,
Kenny Stills,
who's in Miami, and was like, yeah, I'd love to go play with you. But I think Baker Mayfield is one of these dudes who, if he gets drafted, he's going to be happy. You know, he's going to be happy.
Oh, he's going to get drafted. It's just,
no, I know. I don't think he's a guy who's going to be particular about it.
No, and I think he goes before the Dolphins draft the way it looks. The way teams
what do
go
the
after,
Dolphins pick?
Dolphins are, I think they're right in the middle. I have to double check because
they
just missed the playoffs.
You think he's like a top 10 pick?
Yeah, I think he probably is based on – I mean, I just think that these teams that are desperate for quarterbacks are going to overdraft all these guys. Like, I would take him before I would take Josh Allen, as much as I'm not a huge fan. But I bet he goes pretty high.
Yeah.
Because he figured – well, and there's questions about Rosen's character. There's questions about Darnold's last year. They'll still go 1-2 probably, or at least 2-3.
I think they should.
Yeah. I'm not.
That's the two guys that I have the most faith in. I love Baker's game. I love his accuracy on deep balls. I have questions about his size, and I have questions about his attitude.
The attitude worries me.
But I think he can play. You know, I just don't know. I don't know where I'm looking to take him. My bigger concerns are the other two guys, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson mostly because, I mean, he's obviously the best athlete of the bunch, but his accuracy is so poor that I just can't see that. That it doesn't seem like something that just will just take a slight adjustment and it's going to be fixed. I mean, he's erratic. And in the NFL, you can't be as off as he is so many times.
Dolphins pick 11th.
Oh, see? The Dolphins could get Baker Mayfield.
He might be there at 11.
Yeah.
But if you're the Dolphins, are you doing that at 11?
I'm not.
So that means you're kind of punting on Tannehill?
That's what you'd be doing.
Yeah. Are you ready to do that? I don't know that Baker Mayfield's a better.
I am, but I don't know. I don't know if Baker. Like, if Rosen or Darnold is there at 11.
Oh, yeah, that's different.
It's like, hey, Ryan Tannehill, been a good run.
But to me, if you're the Dolphins, I think you're better off gambling second, third round type quarterback who might develop.
Has Jay Cutler said no thanks to next year?
He hasn't really said anything from what I can tell.
What if you could get another year at Jay Cutler? You do that?
If he's on the roster and you're hoping Tannehill's healthy, yeah, I'd feel okay about that combo.
Because I got to tell you, Jay Cutler, he didn't have a bad year in Miami.
No, he didn't.
He wasn't the reason that team didn't make the playoffs. He played pretty well. And imagine Jay Cutler getting a second year in an offensive coordinator's system. What that would be like.
Well, technically, he'd had that year before, though, so... because he
not
in Chicago,
very, not
in,
very
Chicago
often.
In Chicago he had a year with
Adam Gase, yeah. But I mean, imagine this guy gets to stay in the same system, and maybe he can do something.
But. Yeah, but I'll be interested to see what happens with that. I'm just looking at some mock drafts, and one of them has Darnold dropping all the way to 8 to the Broncos, but they have the Jets taking Baker Mayfield at 9. So,
if the Broncos get Sam Darnold, my goodness.
Well, and they're probably going to go get a real good quarterback for the now anyway, right? They're probably going to be in on Kirk Cousins, or maybe they pick up Eli for a short run.
That's why now Kirk Cousins, I would be if they go after Kirk Cousins, it would be surprising for them to take a first round quarterback. Eli Manning, it would not be surprising for them to take a first round quarterback.
Right, right.
But Kirk Cousins, somebody's going to give that guy 5 years, and you can't sign a guy to a 5 year big quarterback contract and then draft a first rounder, especially a top 10 first rounder the same year.
No,
you can't afford to do that.
Robert asked, what has Rosen proven to be a top 2 pick? I don't know what all the dislike for Rosen's game is. I
mean, Rosen physically is so great.
Yeah, and he's another upside guy, and he's got a fantastic release. He gets rid of the ball in a hurry. You worry about some of the off-field stuff with him. And I think Lance said this when we had him on. You worry if he loves football.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I don't like guys who play football. I like guys who love football.
Yeah.
I'll take a guy with a little less talent.
It's rare that you could be a great talent whose number one priority isn't football.
Yeah, I mean,
like Ricky Williams was that way. Ricky Williams, he played football because it made him money, but he didn't really care about football.
Right.
And, he's also a superb talent, but imagine what Ricky Williams could have been if that was, like, his passion.
Yeah, if it had been football instead of weed.
Or whatever else.
Yeah.
I mean, Ricky's into 100 things probably before football.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. Do not go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. All the legal luxury life, rings flooded with
stones, homes. I got so many bombs. Well, hello. To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
It's a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live here at Sam Houston Race Park. Going to be a great night. Opening night of live thoroughbred racing, camel races, ostrich races. There's going to be all kinds of stuff going on. Barry Laminack is going to ride a camel. It looks like the rain didn't really hit out here too much, so it was on the way here, it was raining pretty heavy. So I thought I'd get out here and there'd be a sloppy track, and I did warn Barry if he falls on a sloppy track, it's going to hurt a lot more.
But, oh, really?
Yeah, because the track gets harder. But it looks like it's okay.
I hate slop.
Yeah, see, I may be the world's greatest sloppy track handicapper.
Okay.
For some reason, I've always had just a fantastic feel for when a track gets sloppy. And I will tweet out changes. Like, if they take it off the turf, I'll tweet out the horses I would, because you don't play the same horses on a sloppy track generally that you would on the turf. So anything that's different from my actual picks, I'll tweet out at some point. But since I don't have my actual picks up yet, they are on the free tip sheet that's out here tonight. But usually they put them on the Sam Houston website. I haven't seen them on there yet, so I'll put them up here in a minute. And that way, if you're playing along from home, as I know some of you do, you will have the picks. You can do with them what you will. And already got Blitzers here. Tyler's here. Roger just came in. So going to be a fun night. 50 Cent Beer. Did I mention that?
And you did not.
I'm looking at the 50 Cent Beer. A lot more options this year.
Well, look, they moved the whole thing.
Yeah. So that's probably because they heard us complaining.
Maybe so. Well, we're still
in the corner. But we're easy to find. We're on the first floor by the Rotunda Bar,
yeah,
as it were. And just happy to be out. This is like, man, I can't explain how this feels for me every year when we first come back. This is just like coming home. It's like it's like being gone from home for a year and then coming home. This is just my place. Now, by the end of the quarter horse meet, I'm just like, okay, I'm ready for this to be over. But the first part here is just so much fun, and getting to see friends and getting to see familiar faces. And we're going to have Sasha on with us later today, and she's a rider out here who's done the show with us before, and a lot of fun. So, yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit, because we haven't really dived into the Texans GM thing since they hired Brian Gain.
Okay.
And a couple people have asked me a couple questions that make sense. But number one, is this guy just keeping the seat warm until Rick Smith comes back? I don't think that's the case. I think Rick Smith will come back as VP of, you know, paper towels or something.
Whatever, yeah.
But he won't have anything to do with – because I don't think he takes a job if that were the case.
It'll be a job where he gets a nice check.
Yeah, and he gets to sit next to –
and talk to Bob McNair in the suite. That'll be his literal his job.
And that's fine. I mean, a lot of companies do that for people. I have no problem with that. But, and I don't remember if we talked about this yesterday or not. I'm guessing we didn't, since we didn't do much sports. But somebody had asked me how would things change, because he was there when Rick Smith was there. So why would things be different? And the reality is, I think when you're not making the final decisions, you can make all the suggestions in the world, and the other guy's not going to necessarily listen to him.
Right.
Like, you can come in and say, hey, I think we should have this guest on. That's a bad example. I can go to Barry and Joel and say, hey, man, you guys might want to have this guest on. He's really good. Well, it's their call. They might say, no, we're going to do this guy instead. It's like, okay, so I can make those suggestions, but I don't have any control. Now,
remember when they used to have the really, really, really bad fantasy football guy on?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he would, like, thumb through his papers when they asked him about a player, and they're like, which team is he on?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, I can't wait. Thank you for your expertise, sir.
But in general, it's like I can make a suggestion, but I don't have any control over it.
Right.
And it's the same thing, like, okay, with Sports Map, there's people who can make suggestions, but in the end, I'll make the decision, right or wrong. And most of the suggestions everybody's making is great, so it works out fine. But when you're the final say, and whether it's him or Bill O'Brien, presumably, it is different. And it's the same thing as when I was at the Chronicle. I was the top assistant forever. I'd make a lot of suggestions. They didn't all get done. And then when I got the big job, I was able to do the things I wanted to do. And it was different. It was the same organization, but I was able to do more. And I think that's what it is. You're getting it. If the guy's respected and you think the guy could do a good job. Now, I don't know. I mean, GMs are hard to judge. You look at their background, and until they have that job and they're making those decisions, it's hard to tell. I hope he works out. I hope the whole thing works out with he and O'Brien, and they win lots of games together, and Texans are fun to watch. And, you know, he said all the right things at his press conference, but he didn't say anything that you can figure out whether or not he's a good GM from. So, anyway.
Yeah, I don't think I mean, I think it's going to take a couple years for us to form any kind of fair, you know, even guess at what he's going to be as a GM, because the Texans have done a marvelous job of not really letting anyone know who's in charge.
Yeah, who does what?
For the longest time.
And the weird part about that is, depending on who you talk to, oh, no, Bill O'Brien had the final say. Oh, no, that was a Rick Smith thing.
It goes back to Gary Kubiak, too.
It was the same thing. And it was always and then there was this whole bit about, oh, no, Wade Phillips is the one who picked J.J. Watt. Really? I mean, honestly, we don't know. And until we kind of see some results and get a sense of who they're going to pick, and we're not going to be able to judge this year's draft either because they don't have they don't have high enough picks where we can say, okay, that was a good pick for that spot. That one wasn't. So it is the way they've structured their organization, and it depends on who you talk to as to who's making the decisions.
Right.
And that's the other thing, because I've talked to two or three different people who've told me three different things about who was making – who like, oh, no, Bill O'Brien has final say over these guys. Oh, no, it was Rick Smith's decision. And it almost came down to any good decision the other guy was claiming. One of them was claiming any bad decision they were trying to foist off on the other
guy. And that's what – when Gary Kubiak left, they made it sound like every poor decision that had ever been made was Gary Kubiak's fault and every great decision ever made was Rick Smith's.
Yeah.
And then it seemed reversed with – and not that Rick Smith was fired. They want to make sure that no one thinks Rick Smith was asked to step away.
Right.
But everything that went right, they tried to credit to Bill O'Brien. Everything that went wrong, they tried to credit to someone else.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't know what to think. And it's they don't have to tell us. So we may just have to guess at that forever.
Right. And there's people within the organization that tell me things. But then again, it's completely opposite of what another one tells me. So
right.
And these are people I trust and that wouldn't know, but it kind of depended on which camp you were in, I think. And
like I said, I heard early on that Rick Smith, slammed on the table, jumped up and down, saying, we've got to get Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And if you said, hey, what went right for the Texans this year? Literally, the only thing you can point to is they drafted Deshaun Watson. It looks like he's going to be a franchise quarterback. And he's asked to leave. So... I don't know. I don't know if it even matters who got it right or wrong.
Yeah. I don't know if it's true or not because I've had people tell me that I trust. I've also had people say, "Oh no, O'Brien was totally down with that. He wanted the guy. That was the guy they wanted." Well, and then there was that Patrick Mahomes was the guy they wanted too. So,
and like I said, my thought was, let's just say, for instance, that Bill O'Brien was the one who said, "Let's mortgage our future to take Deshaun Watson. He's that great." There's zero chance then, come training camp, that he would have said, Tom Savage is our starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Right now, he's better than Deshaun Watson. That, to me, felt like a power move, especially in hindsight.
Yeah.
Knowing what Deshaun Watson was and knowing how ready he already was and knowing what Tom Savage was and is, the only reason he would say that is to power play. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And, of course, it ends up that Deshaun Watson is better probably on a blown ACL than Tom Savage could be. But that's why it's confusing because you never know. You never know with these guys.
Now, I'm looking at this wheel that the promo girls have.
Yes, the Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, where people come up and they spin it and they get to win either a T-shirt or candy or a Gola cat.
Or they get to make out with one of the promo girls.
Yeah, that's like the blue one.
Yep.
But they've got a couple where you don't win anything. He just says, sorry.
Sorry, loser.
Yeah, that guy that was just here, he spun.
Won nothing?
Yeah, it says sorry, and it's got like little sad face on it.
Damn.
You know what? That guy probably just lost like $500 out here betting. He's having a terrible day. And then you come and spin the wheel, and you get that.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. You're just a loser, sir.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's a great way to grab listeners. I mean... Honestly,
you could have at least put, instead of the sorry, you could have more candy. It's not like we're running out of candy.
No kidding. Or put koozie on there. I mean, you already got koozies. You gave him a koozie anyway.
I know, but now he's like a loser. And
yeah, you shamed him in front of everybody. And really, it's like, oh, sorry, sir. Boy, hope your horse picks are better than your spinning. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 215 asking, why doesn't Sam Houston Race Park have racing year-round? They've gone to a model of these shorter meets because if you look at the surrounding states, they all have casinos at their place and all this extra money, and they don't have that here. So with the short,
and we don't?
No, we don't. Don't get me started. But it actually
works the way they do it with these short meets. So, and also, I think it just makes it, it makes it more of a destination. You've got shorter time to get out here and enjoy thoroughbred racing.
It's an event now.
Yeah. All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from San Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live here at San Houston Race Park. Lots of great stuff on Sports Map today, including video from Minty Leveno, who's really good. She's one of our video people. That's up. We've got your MMA preview for tomorrow night, which is up, so please go check that out if you haven't seen it yet. I just posted my Sam Houston picks for tonight. It's just the same format as a free tip sheet, so those are on there. Charlie Polillo's got his weekly thing. We've got the Harris County Sports Authorities up, and Jerry Bowe did his play action or pass for the games tomorrow. We'll talk about that a little bit next segment when we break them down from a gambling perspective. So lots of good stuff. Please go check it out. And hopefully you are enjoying the site as much as I'm enjoying putting it together.
So I've got a little bit of breaking news on the UFC. UFC 223, which is, that's going to be in March, I guess.
Well, it's 220 January, so February, April, right?
I think it's late March. I don't know. I don't know for sure.
Okay. Because 221 would be February, 22 would be March.
Sometimes they have two in a month.
Yeah,
though.
That's true. That's true. So March or April? How's
March? Oh, never mind. It is April 7th.
Ah,
so it is early
a day
April,
which will live in infamy.
Dana White had the first press conference about that card today, and announced that while Conor McGregor has not yet been stripped of his title, his 155 title, the fight between Tony Ferguson and Khabib Nurmagomedov on that card will be for the undisputed belt, which means that it's inevitable that Conor McGregor is going to be stripped of his title, and I think rightfully so. He hasn't defended it.
Well, I think you called it a long time ago. I don't think he's going to fight again.
I don't think he will either. And
unless he blows through all his money somehow,
right?
And if he does that, fighting is not going to. Did we lose a signal, John? I'm getting a lot of loss of signal.
Okay,
a couple people have said that.
But yeah, he's not fought in some time, and now McGregor or Dana White says that he thinks that this Ferguson Khabib fight is massive, which I think it is too. I think these are the two guys who have been waiting in line for a long time, and hopefully, knock on wood, they're able to get in the cage, but. Dana said when Conor does decide to come back, he thinks it will be massive. And obviously that would be the case. And if he came back to fight Ferguson or Khabib, my guess is that Conor would get the first shot at the winner of that fight. So they've already stripped the UFC 145-pound title from him. That was 2 weeks after he beat the after he won the 155 title, so they could open that division back up. That was a while back now. So, and obviously his focus over the last year was more on boxing than it was on MMA. So here we are. Dana says he doesn't want the division to get clogged up. So they'll have a fight for the undisputed title in April.
All right, so apparently we are off the air, but we are on air on the stream.
Oh, great.
So people can hear us on the stream. So...
Oh.
Well, yeah, the people here can hear us, yeah. Good call, Tyler. So, all right, well, we'll just keep going until we have to go to break here. Hopefully they'll get that solved. I don't know, one of our hamsters must have pulled a hammy. I think that's what happened.
Good golly. What are you going to do?
Yeah, we just do our thing. We just keep going, right? because we're not quitters, AJ.
Traumatized Falcon fan says the Texans have had similar personnel issues for years. Why does so much blame go to Bill O'Brien and not the GM that's been the single point of consistency through it all? Even if Smith is responsible for Watson, isn't he also responsible for the dumpster fire set of mid-round picks for the last several years? Which I would say, yeah. I mean, that's, to me, because they've been so bad in that spot for so long, the yeah. only consistent is Rick Smith, and I think it is fair to blame him. But there's enough blame to go around for everybody, because I think you assume the same thing I do that was assumed sort of openly at the time, and I think has just kind of been forgotten about because Deshaun Watson looks to be so great. But Bill O'Brien is the guy who said, I want Brock Osweiler. I can win with Brock Osweiler.
Right.
And the Brock Osweiler contract may be, and maybe that's an article for Sports Map one day, the biggest misstep in franchise history.
Yeah, it's up there.
It's got to be.
It's up there.
Handing that money and to
then,
Brock Osweiler.
And then the cost to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Which at least you got rid of him, which is good, but I mean, he's also the guy who pounded his fist on the table on Hard Knocks and says, oh, people are going to find out one of these guys can play. Talking about Hoyer and Mallett.
Right, and also this isn't a 9-7 football team.
Yeah, and it is, or it was. Well, you know what? He was right this year.
At best.
They weren't a 9-7 football team. So, all right, we're out here at Sam Houston Race Park. If you want to come by and say hello, and, you know, we have promo girls right here in front of us that have the primo seats, and we know that the promo ladies are here because Ninja's over there. He's not with us. He's over there talking to them. That's how it works. All right. I mean, I'm not blaming him. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's easy to tell. If those were guys, he'd be sitting over here with
right.
us. All right. Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. But it would remind us of when nothing really mattered. Out of student loans and treehouse homes, we all would take the ladder. My name's
Blurry Face and I care what you think. Well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.